Hello and welcome to the British English Podcast with your host, Charlie Baxter. I'm here with Lauren, who is from Hong Kong, and she has taken a test of the IELTS exam. And she would like to tell us her experience, and I think it would be very interesting to ask her some specific questions about, whether the examiner was nice to her and what she did if she made a slight mistake or anything like that. And I've just realised that actually you're not from Hong Kong.
Well, actually, I am originally from mainland China. I was born in Guangdong province.
Guangdong.
Actually, okay. Very close to Macau.
Right. Okay. Yeah. But then you moved to Hong Kong when?
I moved to Hong Kong about 11 years ago.
11 years ago. Okay. Do you identify as Hong Kongese?
I think maybe I am a little bit of both. I received my early education in mainland China and then I came to Hong Kong to further my studies.
Okay, well, thank you very much for giving me the time to go through this experience that you had. Before we get into the specifics, can you tell us the results that you got for the IELTS exam that you did in December 2021? This episode comes with a free worksheet over on the website, thebritishenglishpodcast.com. So grab that and you can listen along whilst using it.
My overall score is 8.
Overall 8? And specifics of the 4 categories?
Yeah, I got 9 in listening and 8.5 in reading. And I got 7.5 in both writing and speaking.
Right, okay. Interesting. Do you feel like your writing and speaking are on the same level generally? Or do you think that your speaking is better than your writing or the other way around?
Actually, I had aimed higher, but perhaps I need to work a lot harder to improve my results, you know.
Well, you were a very good student. You've been proving yourself in class because Lauren has been taking part in the IELTS course on thebritishenglishpodcast.com. You joined around about September in the academy and then you came onto the IELTS course a couple of weeks or maybe a month later?
Yeah, actually, indeed. I really enjoy taking your programs and I've benefited so much from the IELTS program.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I've really enjoyed teaching you, but enough about my stuff. So you took the exam in December. You feel like you want to get higher than an 8.0?
Yeah, I aim for a C2 level. To attain that level, I need to get at least 8.5.
The
overall score.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So you want to go again?
Yeah.
Yeah. And have you booked a test again?
I haven't because, I think for that margin and maybe 0.5 margin, maybe I need to improve quite a few bits, like, exam preparation, like under time condition. And also, I need to improve a lot in speaking and writing. And also, I need to do loads of exercise of reading and listening.
Okay.
Perhaps I may book one again in April, but not sure. It all depends on my progress or whether I feel fully prepared for the next one.
It's nice. Okay. Well, it sounds like you're taking it seriously. You're not just going in without thinking about much. Let's go back to that day that you woke up knowing that you're going to take the test.
Mm.
Actually, let's go back a little bit further. When you booked it, it would be interesting to know how much did it cost?
It's 2,200 Hong Kong dollars.
Okay. 2,200 Hong Kong dollars. Do you know the conversion in US dollars?
Not sure. So if I remember well, it should be 2,200 Hong Kong dollars and maybe around 270 US dollars or something like that.
Pretty good. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think the currency has changed a little bit recently, but it's 280 at the moment. Yeah. 280 US dollars for the test for you in Hong Kong in December 2021. Okay. That was how much it cost. And then what was availability like for you to book?
I didn't recall exactly that I booked it at least 1 month before the test date, I suppose. Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, there are different examination venues that I can choose. Like in Hong Kong, you know, there are quite a few venues that you can choose to your convenience.
Okay. Yeah, so, and is that just based on location within the city or, you know, a more luxurious building?
Yeah, well, I think actually it's more or less the same, no matter where you take it or not. And in Hong Kong, you can either take it in British Council or you can either take it in IDP.
What's the IDP? Don't know that one.
I think maybe it's an Australian authority.
Like, oh, okay.
It's part of the organizers. I mean, it's one of the organizers of IELTS.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I can recognize that logo, actually.
Yeah,
yeah. International Education Specialists. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. They are an international education organization offering student placement in Australia, New Zealand, the US, UK, Ireland, and Canada. Okay. Anyway, you had availability or you booked it a month in advance. And I'd be interested to know what time of day you booked.
I booked at like 8 a.m. for listening, reading and writing. And then in the afternoon, like 1 p.m. And then I took the speaking test.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That was actually another question, if you did it together. So the venue hosts all four parts of the test. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And typically, I believe you can you do the speaking before?
Yeah. That's an option. Yeah.
Okay.
You can either book speaking ahead of the other three tests. I think perhaps I need to stay fully focused for the reading, writing, and listening parts. So I chose the early sessions for those three parts.
Right. And those three parts, can they be separated in your booking or they all have to be taken together?
They are all together.
They're all together. Yeah. Okay.
Because you just sit in front of a computer and then you finish all the three parts together.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, so you had a break of a couple of hours because the, you know, 8 a.m. until what, 11?
I suppose maybe around 12.
Oh, so it was a four-hour stint.
Yeah, because before the test, the invigilators have to read out the guidelines and the instructions, right?
Yeah.
And some testing. Yeah. So it took some time before the test.
Yeah. So what time did you get there if it was at 8 a.m.?
I think the 8 a.m. should be the time that you should get there. In that venue, I mean, for registration, and they check your identity cards or your supporting documents. And then you have to wait in a room. We actually started the test. I'm not sure because I was not allowed to take my watch, and I suppose it might be around 9 a.m.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
The real start began at around 9 a.m. or something like that. And before that, we have to go through the procedures like checking in and check the identity cards. And we had to take photos. Photos for the report cards.
Right.
Of the IELTS test. Yeah.
Is that photo used in your certification, or is it to identify you are who you say you are?
I think maybe both. But I think the key purpose is to put it in your certificate.
Right. Okay. So did you think about that and, you know, put your face on when you were getting ready in the morning?
I didn't. Actually, I hadn't thought much about it. So I just thought whether I could get there in time.
Yeah, I'm sure it was the last of your worries then. We always regret our driving license picture in the UK. We always look at each other's and we're like, oh, it looks rubbish. But really, I mean, I think it's funny how we say, oh, no, it doesn't look like me, but it legally does look like you. So But did you have that with your driving licenses when you were a bit younger?
Unfortunately, I don't know how to drive.
Then you didn't have that worry.
Yeah. So to tell you something interesting, when I was young, I have a phobia for taking rides on the bus because I had a phobia to have a ride on the bus because it was very easy for me to get car sick. So
You didn't get a driving license because you thought you would get car sick.
Yeah. Another thing is that I have to admit I'm not good with directions. I always get lost. So I would be a lousy driver, so I might as well avoid it.
Oh, I appreciate your honesty. Okay.
Yeah.
You got the photo, okay. You got to arrive at 8 if it's at 8, and then they take your watch. So is this to just confuse you about everything in life, or is it for a real legitimate reason that they took your watch off of you?
Do you know what your level of English is? If not, then how can you tell if you're even improving? Considering you are no longer a beginner in this journey, you should be doing everything you can to show to yourself that your hard work is paying off. To do that, you need to know where you're at right now to be able to recognize the progress in the future. So, I have a quick and easy English level test for you to take right now for free to instantly find out what level of English you actually have. Head to thebritishenglishpodcast.com/testme or find the link in the show notes of this episode.
I just wanted to check in with you about something. Are you one of those language learners who often thinks, am I actually making any progress with my English? Is what I'm doing to study actually working for me? Or am I just wasting my precious time here? Well, if you think this way, then I'd like to encourage you to take action on this. Imagine how much more motivated you would be to put time and effort into your English studies if you knew that every time you studied, you would be guaranteed to be making significant progress. How much more satisfying would that be? So what do we need to do in order to find more clarity around this issue? Well, tracking your progress is a wonderful way to show evidence of your language skills having actually improved. And to track progress, the first thing you need to do is understand what level you are currently at. If you haven't taken a level assessment recently, then I highly recommend using my free test that will instantly tell you your level of English. Once you know this, you can start tracking your progress, which comes in many forms based on personal preference and your level of English. But that's a conversation for another time. For now, though, make sure you check your level of English with my free level checker, which is available over on thebritishenglishpodcast.com/freebies. That is thebritishenglishpodcast.com/freebies, or find it in the show notes of this episode.
I think it's for legitimate reasons, something like that. I think we were not allowed to take like personal belongings or some medals or something like that. And when I took my photos, I was asked to take off my earrings and hair clips.
Oh, no accessories allowed.
Very serious, right. Yeah. And if you need to take water inside, I mean, your water bottle has to be transparent.
That reminds me of when
very
I took
strict.
my tests as a young boy, having the pencil case that had to be transparent as well. That's why they took your watch off of you. I asked you what time of day you booked it, because I remember watching a TED talk about the implications or the psychological implications of the time of day that a court proceeding goes ahead. And there was a significant difference between after lunch and before lunch. And the judges were more likely to send people to jail.
Really?
Before lunch, because they were frustrated and they were hungry and they had a mood temperament, or they had a fluctuation in their moods. So I thought, for the IELTS test, maybe we should think about that and go after lunch.
Yeah, thank you for such useful information. I think there might be some truth in it, you know. So for the examiners, they have to sit there for the whole morning, you know. It seems like you are the one that prevents him to go for lunch or something like that. So
yeah, exactly.
It would be great if you take the speaking test after the examiner has had a full lunch.
Yeah. Although thinking about it, if it's a big lunch, then maybe they're a bit sleepy straight away after their lunch. So there's probably a perfect moment in the day, maybe just when they're having their first or second coffee, if they drink coffee.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So, yeah.
Anyway.
I'll jot it down, and maybe next time I can book the perfect time slot.
There you go. Maybe that's the difference between an 8 and an 8.5. Okay.
Thank you.
You booked it at 8 a.m. to start for around about 9 to do the three, and then the speaking happened at 1 p.m. Okay. Mm. So thinking about when you woke up that day, tell us how you felt. How did you feel when you woke up knowing that you got an exam that day?
It felt like I was going to do something really big on that day. I'm not sure, you know.
Yeah.
It was like you go to a very formal meeting, or you are going to present something in front of a large audience, because the audience is going to judge you, or is going to say some mark your speaking, and you know. So to me, it seemed like a day of presentation, like maybe the presentation of your dissertation in your final year, in front of teachers in the department, and you have to get fully prepared for the incoming questions, and they may raise some questions about the essay, and you have to elaborate, or you have to explain in detail what your essay is about.
Yeah. Okay. You've painted a picture there, because I remember those moments of preparing for university presentations. I remember I actually did a presentation with Harry quite a few times.
Oh yeah, that's interesting.
And we also, so we did a presentation once at like 6 p.m. and we were nervous. So we thought, well, let's take the edge off and let's go for one beer at the pub before. And it worked. It really worked. Wow. We felt a bit less nervous. Yeah, I'm not recommending this to everyone.
Energetic.
Yeah, because we recommended it to our friend at university, because he was really nervous on that presentation. And then the next presentation we had, it was me, Harry, and this other guy that we had told about going to the pub. And he took it quite literally, because our presentation was at 10 a.m., it was at 10 a.m. the next one.
Yeah.
And we got to the lecture hall, and he was pretty much drunk. We're like, how? Where? What? And he was like, yeah, I took your advice. I'm feeling great. Feeling great. Let's do this. Let's do this. We're like, you must have knocked down the pub's doors because that's very early to get a pint. Yeah. Even for England.
So, yeah. So interesting. So maybe drinking at that time helped you overcome the stage fright.
It did, but yeah, if your exam is at 11 in the morning, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. Yeah. Anyway, on to more legitimate things. What was the examiner like?
Oh, well, actually, he's a local. I think he's a local because he introduced himself, a very nice person, and he spoke very perfect English. Yeah, and very nice, okay. Perfect English. And then he nodded along while I spoke, and a very nice person. And at the end of the speaking test, and he said, Happy New Year, because, and that time, I think it should be like the 30th or 31st of December. So we were celebrating a brand new year. So I think it was really kind of him to say some warm words like Happy New Year. Yeah. It really means a lot to the candidates.
I can imagine. Yeah. And that must have been quite a big celebration for you that evening or the day after, was it?
Maybe.
Or COVID?
Yeah. I may say it would be a relief because I finally finished a test.
Yeah. But did you celebrate New Year's Eve that quite a big way after your test?
No, actually, I remember at that time the government was imposing some strict restrictions on gathering. Okay,
so your government put a stop to your fun of letting your hair down after your test. What was the environment like? Was it like a really small kind of an office that isn't well looked after, want for better words, or was it like a very modern corporate kind of environment?
Yeah, I took the test in British Council. It's located on the Hong Kong Island. And actually, it's next to the British Consulate. Yeah, it should be, okay. In Emirates. Yeah. It's a very tall building. Yeah, a tall building. And then they arranged us, I mean, the candidates in the waiting room for the speaking test. So I remember at that time, just three of us, three girls, sat around a round table. So nobody spoke. So it was a little bit awkward.
That was the waiting room, a round table of three candidates.
Yeah, three candidates. And we put our belongings aside and then we just took out our identity cards and supporting documents and a pencil and we just sat there to wait for our terms. Nobody spoke. Yeah, all of us just sat there.
Were you tempted to start conversation with some of them to, you know, distract yourself from what was about to happen and also practice your English?
No, because at that time, it all looked quite serious, you know, like a real examination. The examination vibe. Yeah, I just calmed myself down and then prepared and maybe practiced speaking in heart privately.
In my mind, yeah. Internal dialogue.
In my mind.
Mm. So as soon as you came into the waiting area, it felt like a test examination kind of environment and everything was quiet. There were two or three other people in the room. And how long did you wait there for until you were called?
Maybe less than 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because I think maybe we were in the first round in the afternoon. So,
Got it. Yeah. So you were straight after lunch.
Yeah. Actually, I didn't have time for lunch.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before the writing test, I suppose it was like a quarter past 12 or maybe later, you know. So my speaking time was 1 p.m. So maybe just half an hour. I just walked out of the building and sat on a bench in the park. And
scoffed your face.
Yeah, and then tried self-introduction, any answers, and trying to prepare any answers.
Right, okay. I see. So you use that time after the morning slot to practice the speaking part, and you didn't have time to have any lunch. So you you had no food from 8 a.m. until after the speaking part, which is around about 1:30, 1:40.
No food. Wow. And no drink. Because
no drink?
Yeah, because I didn't want to waste time going to the restrooms. Going to the toilets, you know.
I see, right. So it's tactical decision not to have any fluids.
Well, just my case.
Yeah. I would say, though, that it's quite good to keep yourself hydrated for the purpose of, you know, being able to function cognitively. But yeah, interesting.
Yeah, but before the test, I did drink a cup of coffee. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we understand the timings of it all and the meeting room. I'm doing very specific questions because I want people to feel almost like they know exactly what's going to happen for them. Because I think the unknown is what is nerve-wracking for these kind of things. So you were in a small meeting room and then you were called like a doctor's appointment kind of thing.
Yeah.
Lauren, can you please come through?
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's
Tell
it.
Me the bit by bit how it went down.
I followed one of the staff to a room and then I knocked at the door and then the examiner said, yes, come in, please. Then I walked inside and the examiner said hello to me and asked me to sit down. And then he introduced himself and he asked me to present my identity cards. Yeah. And he asked me to introduce myself in full name. And actually, something happened here because I just said my English name, but actually the examiner was asking my full name. So
your full legal name.
So that, oh, and I thought, maybe the examiner would think she misunderstood my questions.
So immediately you felt like maybe I've done something wrong. So guys, when you go in, they're looking for your legal name. Is that right, Lauren? What is your Chinese name?
Luo Ying. Actually, it's Chinese pinyin, but in Cantonese it's pronounced differently.
Interesting.
But I think because in Cantonese, it's pronounced Luo Yang. It's quite similar. I mean, a little bit similar to the pronunciation of my English name, Lauren.
Yeah. Is that why you chose it?
Yeah, because at school, my classmates just call me Lauren very spontaneously. I just didn't know why.
That's quite a nice, natural way to find an English name. Just your schoolmates figure it out for you.
I found that Lauren was a very popular name in the 90s. I just picked this name as my English name. Yeah.
Okay, nice. Right. So we're going to go on to talk about the specific parts of the speaking exam, you know, part one, two, and three, how you got given part two, what kind of questions you got in part one and all parts of it. That will be in, not to confuse you as the listener, guys, but that will be in part two of this episode and part three. So that's all we've got time for in part one of this episode. So, Lauren, thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Would you like to say goodbye to the part one listeners?
Bye, everyone. See you later.
Wonderful. All right. Thank you very much, guys, and hopefully see you in part two. If not, see you next week. We will leave it there for part one of today's episode. Thank you very much for listening up to this point. If you did want to listen to part two and part three of this conversation, then you can head over to thebritishenglishpodcast.com and check out the premium podcast or academy memberships. The premium podcast gives you access to the full conversation along with extended glossaries, transcripts, and flashcards, whereas the academy gives you all of that plus exclusive videos and audios for the season-based episodes, explaining the vocabulary, exampling them, giving you quizzes, writing assignments, and weekly speaking classes on Zoom. But if you were just here for part one of this conversation, then I thank you very much for stopping by. I hope you enjoyed the show. Do grab that free worksheet by clicking the link in the show notes. My name's Charlie, and I will see you next week on the British English Podcast.